Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We do stream the program live during the radio broadcasts at richarddugan.com, and we also archive the podcast, if you will, both at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, as well as at SoundCloud and iTunes, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter. So we'll also be giving you the link to our guest's website here shortly so that you can begin the process of finding out more about what our guest has to share, all of the things that they are involved in, as it were. So we encourage you to certainly check out our guest's website. I think today is going to be a very interesting program, especially considering the fact that it's dealing with, I think, a very interesting aspect to our lives. One of the things that I have often used to describe this process has to do with going within, as it were, getting in touch with who we really are. And we're going to talk about that today. My guest today is Nomi, and the last name is Bahar. Okay, C is silent. And it's Nomi Bahar. Thank you. Let the Heart Speak is the title of your book. And let's go ahead, just so we can get it on the record, so to speak. What is the website that we want to send people to following this interview, or maybe even while they're listening to the interview, so that they can get more information about the work that you're doing?
There are two websites, actually. One is Gates, like G-A-T-E-S, gatesofpower.com. And that is the method and the system, the program that hopefully I'll speak a little more about it later. Gatesofpower.com. And the other one is NomiSpeaks.com. I'm also a speaker, speak about leadership and other important topics.
Okay. And we're going to be giving those out as we go here on the program so that people can, again, access that. And we'll be linked to the websites as well so people can, again, get that information. And we encourage people to do that. When we talk about this aspect of, and again, I'm going to dive off of the title, Let the Heart Speak. There's a wonderful little poem I've quoted many, many times on this program by an author by the name of Tiberius, having to do with the gods noticing that man is kind of raising his awareness, his consciousness, is beginning to understand his place in the universe, and actually is kind of raising up, getting closer and closer to them. They're feeling a little threatened, and they're thinking, you know what, we better hide this secret. We better hide this because, you know, we can't have this. So they start debating where to hide it. You know, put it at the top of a mountain. No, they'll climb up there and they'll find a way to get to it. How about the depths of the ocean? No, they'll find a way to get down there. And then, I mean, they go through a litany of things. And finally, one of them chimes in and says, hey, let's hide it in their heart. They'll never look there. That does seem to be the case. And yet, at the same time, I know that especially in the ancient wisdom teachings from around the world, the heart seems to be the focal point. It seems to be, if you will, sort of the core of where we need to go, and also it's like our center spiritually. Tell us a little bit about your perspective on that.
Okay. There are two centers, and hopefully they work together. Because we have an emotional self, we have a defensive self, which is our survival self, and we have an expanded self, where our wisdom lives. In our emotional self, there is the center of love and joy and innocence. The emotional self is like a child, and it wants to be open to the world. It wants to love. It wants to play, to giggle and be silly and create. That's one longing that we have. The expanded self, our wisdom self, wants to transform. It wants to know the truth. It wants to move people to transform. It wants to make a world that's united. So there are two hearts, and it's good when the emotional heart, the child heart, sits in the center of the wisdom heart. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. In terms of our connecting to those two aspects, certainly the outside material world creates a lot of wonderful distractions, if you will, that keep us from, you know, doing just that, connecting there. What have you found in this context? What have you found? What techniques? What modalities? What methods to connect and hopefully to obviously share with others to do the same? Because I'm of that mindset right now where I'm kind of tired of this silly, crazy little narrative in the real world, in the material world, where we're not making any progress at all. And then again, well, I'm speaking specifically of the material world because, and I'm going to throw this in here, not to be political, but from the political perspective, we're going nowhere really fast because every time we elect a group of people, every cycle, it's from quote unquote the other side. And then they're there for a while and they're undoing everything that the last group that was on the other side did. And then next cycle, those people get elected from the first side and they're undoing everything from the people from the second side. And then the next cycle comes along and side two is undoing everything from side one. And it's like, we're not going anywhere. We're spinning our wheels. We're not progressing as a civilization, as a society. And really it is down to, are we progressing as people? So what are your suggestions? What have you found that has really worked well for you?
Well, I have been personally a meditator since I was something like 22. So, and it's many, 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 many years ago. So for me, and I had to, through my life, release and clear a lot of pain that I had personally. So I really had to sit with myself because I would not have survived if I didn't. So I had to sit long hours with my heart, my child heart that was filled with pain. And in doing that, I discovered my expanded heart. And I started merging the two. So when I work with people, I've been a psychotherapist and a coach for the last 26 years. When I work with people, we work a lot with meditations, and not just the regular meditations of dropping the mind and calming the nervous system, but we get into that stage of a relaxed, clear mind. And then we do a lot of work within that state. We clear emotionally, we clear energetically, we get visions, we get a sense of purpose. We tap into the expanded heart while we clear things that are difficult in the feeling heart. So obviously, and I work through create. I've been a performer, a dancer, actor, choreographer, director, producer, whatever, for many, many years, too. So I found that two things are really important. One is, do you want to know yourself or not?
Mm.
Do you want to stop running around and get and try to collect external crutches This is what people do, unfortunately. You know, they don't sit. They don't say, do I want to know myself? I'm tired, just like what you said a minute ago. Mm-hmm. I am tired of running around collecting items, collecting people, collecting notions, and going nowhere. I get the people who are tired of that. So I'm very lucky. So I guess I would like to present for the four grand questions. The four grand questions that anybody, everybody needs to ask themselves. One is, who am I? Who am I really in my essence? Not my resume, not my looks, not my house, not my car, not my... In my deepest essence, who am I? The second question is, why am I here? Why? What's the purpose of my life? What's the point?
Yeah.
And we all come to learn certain lessons that are very important to our souls, but we also come to contribute, to give our gift, to make the world a better place, to make lives of people better and more creative. So why am I here, really? And the third question is, what is in my way of being all that I really am and living my purpose? There are things that are in the way. Fears, self-doubts, insecurities, old trauma that has not been cleared, and so on and so forth. And the last question is, how do I get there? How do I clear everything that doesn't belong out of my way? And how do I become my essence and walk my purpose in this life?
You know, that's a question we, of course, put to our listeners just about every single program with our guests. And, you know, as you, it's really kind of strange because as you are posing those very questions, I'm sitting here asking those questions even of myself today, even though I've acknowledged that, okay, I feel as though I've been in the right place at the right time almost all my life as far as my career and other issues, other things in my life. I would consider myself fairly successful, at least as far as being able to do, you know, some of the things that I've really loved to do, taking my father's advice of getting a job that I really love because you're going to be doing it for a long time and don't get stuck like me. You know, I mean, I've been doing this since I was at least 19 years old, maybe even earlier, only because my father used to have old reel-to-reels and turntables and so forth, and my brother and I used to play with them. And then I started recording television shows. I remember buying my first radio that actually would pick up television signals, and I would be able to record the audio. And I started playing around with that and on and on and on. And yet at the same time, as you're asking those questions to our listeners, I'm sitting here going, okay, somehow, for some reason, these questions, they seem to apply to me all of the sudden, and I don't know why. You know, it's like...
You know, we need to ask them periodically again and again. You know, they're very profound. There are layers of evolution that we mm-hmm. have. You know, so every time we're onto a different level, we need to ask, and those questions seem to be a little more clear in a different way.
Yeah, yeah. So when did this, actually, I'm going to ask that question later. Let me ask you about your upbringing. Where do you hail from philosophically as far as your family's upbringing and maybe there was some siblings, your parents, relatives, etc.?
Well, I grew up in Israel when Israel was just, you know, a very young country. There was like nothing much there other than wars. So I grew up in the shadow of wars, you know, running into the bunkers, you know, every whatever fourth day in the middle of the night in the pajamas and just a lot of scary stuff. And my father was a veteran of the Independence War, the 48. And he was, that war shattered him physically, emotionally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was 2 years operated on, like one operation after another. And then he was 3 years in a mental institute. So 5 years I didn't know my father. And when he came back, he was very dark. And my mom was frantic because she got married and all of a sudden she didn't have a husband. And I mean, she had something to take care of, but not a husband. And so I had to grow up with the notion that I have to help her. And I didn't feel that I was allowed to feel or to want or to need anything. I was what they call a parented child, a child that becomes a parent to the parent. So I had to take all of the feelings and everything in that very difficult reality and put them in a big black box and bury it inside of me. And only later when I went to the Army, I went to high school, I went to the Army, was in a war, came out, and something in me said, I want to go to the Academy of the Performing Arts. That's where I want to go. It never occurred to me before because I didn't show any talent. I was like very closed off. And I came to my parents and I said, this is where I'm going. And my dad said, what? I'm not paying for this. I'm not raising gypsies. And my mom said, honey, you don't have a talent. So there was a calling. So I went and they auditioned thousands of people. And they picked me, the end of destiny. And that's what I did. I went to this academy, and there I had to open that big black box. Because you cannot be a performer and not be in touch with your feelings, no matter what they are. So that's where the beginning of my emotional expressive journey started. It was very painful in the beginning. I felt awkward. I felt strange about all these feelings that were coming out. They were, you know, painful. But I became a very successful actress because of that. Because they loved what they said, the transparency that I had and all of that. And after that, I realized that feelings, and healing them are two different things. So later on in life, around 30 or something, I started a serious healing journey and became very interested in the creative process of the healing journey. I saw that how creative it is. Because we actually are creating ourselves. We're creating our internal space into what it is that we want it to be. And so, you know, I trained as a psychotherapist in experiential and expressive modalities and started experimenting even as I was in my private practice with meditation, with a lot of the expressive ways to heal, like writing and drawing and movement and sound and the energetic, how to shift the energetic field by shifting the emotions and releasing them and so on. So I am an artist. I'm a performing artist. And I'm very good at that. But I'm more interested at this point, and obviously for many years now, in the art of the soul. Healing, strengthening, inspiring, empowering the soul.
Your acting career actually takes you from this world into another world. So it's like a world within a world. And you actually get to choose, in many instances, which worlds you want to enter, because, you know, not every actor accepts every single script or gets involved in every single play because, you know, maybe it doesn't interest them. But at the same time, you know, you get to choose to go into those different places. And there are those philosophies that teach that, well, even in this life, we had the right, if you will, to choose which world we wanted to go into in terms of, you know, the parents and the lifestyle and the given sex and so on and so forth. And then even the experiences that we go through. So it's almost as if being an actor is the same as living the lifetime that we live, but we don't remember that we made these agreements or signed this contract or whatever the case might be. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, we have to come to grips with it. Maybe it helps. I don't know if this helps to answer that one question of why am I here? Well, I'm here to play a particular role. Now, this was something that was said to me some time ago in an interview that I was doing. And they went about it very delicately because they knew that this wouldn't go over real well with a lot of folks. And that is that every single person who's ever lived, and we're talking about everybody, has had the same role, if you will, or same position as playing a role. And that when they come into their lifetime, all they're doing is playing the role they agreed to play. That's all they're doing. There isn't any malice towards anyone. They're just here playing the role that they agreed to play. And that's a tough one for the observers, because you take a look at some of the things that some of these people down through history have done, and you go, well, wait a minute, I don't know if I can accept the fact that they just came here to play a role, because look what they did.
Well, they're playing, I think, they're playing a role because they need to learn something.
Right.
They're not playing a role to play a role. Even if somebody does horrendous things, their soul needs to learn something about that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you think to yourself, oh, my God, like somebody like Hitler, you know. Oh, they need to learn a lesson, and then a lot of people need to die for that. It's how it is in terms of our souls don't ever die, and the soul needs to come to an awakening, and sometimes it takes a very yucky role and many lifetimes for a soul to awaken to the oneness, to the love that mm-hmm. is the real stuff of the universe.
Yeah.
I mean, Shakespeare probably said it best, you know, with that wonderful line, you know, the whole world's a stage and We're but actors, I guess, is how the phrase goes. We're here, yes, to play a role, to learn, to grow, to evolve. I'm curious from your perspective in reference to evolving. Where do you see us, you know, down the road, I don't know, 100, 1,000 years, where do you see us as a species? Do you think we'll survive the slings and arrows, as it were, that you know, we've gone through? I mean, there are those who say we're on the brink of annihilation. Of course, they've been saying that as long as I've been alive. and I'm only 58, so.
The universe is expanding all the time, and consciousness is expanding. So I have a feeling that the ones of us that are able to move with the flow of the universe into the next dimension, which is happening now, will survive, because that's where the universe is going. And the ones of us that are insisting on staying defensive and tight and uptight and attached to the external crutches, they will have to disappear. So I kind of suggest to everybody, let's wake up, let's ask those four questions, and let's start investing in the enlightenment of the soul rather than anything else.
Before we go to break, I want you to pose those four questions to our listeners one more time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the first question is, who am I? Really, not how I look, not what I do necessarily. Nothing of that. Inside, deep inside of me. If I can clear everything that's external and just listen to that music, and feel the essence of me. Who am I? The second question is, why am I here? What am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to transform? And what am I supposed to contribute? How do I make a difference? The third is, what is in my way? What are the things that are interfering with me being fully myself, truly myself, and following my purpose, my bliss? And the last question is, how do I get there? What is the practice? What is the way? What is the system? What is that could take me from where I am today, which is somewhat blocked or somewhat not aligned, to being aligned, being myself, walking my purpose. And I have created Gates of Power method and program to help people do that, to self-actualize.
My guest is Noemi Bahar. We're talking about, of course, the latest work, Let the Heart Speak. You have two other works that I am aware of. One is, of course, Gates of Power, which is also a website, gatesofpower.com, and The Change, having to do with basic empowerment, if you will. We'll talk more about that as we continue here on the program. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan along with Noemi Bahar, and we're talking about the soul. We're talking about the heart, the core of who and what we are. We're talking about those four wonderful little questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What is in my way? And how do I get there? And of course, she's been explaining the essence, if you will, of each of those questions. Is it fair to say that if I wanted to be, I suppose, somewhat flippant or cliche-ish and say, who am I? Well, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. Is it that simplistic?
It's not really answering your question. Yes, you are a spiritual, moving through a human experience. Okay, but that's everybody. Who are you specifically? What are the colors of your essence? And everybody is a little bit different, a little or a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've asked the questions. It's part of our course, so that's the first thing that we dive into when we start. And I have heard so many, many different answers, and they're all true of people who define their essence. Some people are extremely creative, and they say, I am a creator. I love creating beautiful things. Some people are like that. That's what they feel is their essence. And some people say, I'm a mother. They're mothering, even if they don't have any kids. They feel their essence is mothering. And well, I heard so many different answers. So when I think about myself, I would say I'm a transformer. I love transforming not only, you know, my own life, my own psyche, other people's, but I love transforming. If you take me into a space, I start transforming the space to make it, I feel like more harmonious or something.
But is that something that you're actually doing consciously, or is that just something that happens because you enter the space?
I think it's because my essence is moved to do that.
Okay.
You know, like the woman who said, when she was responding to that, I'm a mother. She, and I know her, of course, she's in the program. She likes nurturing things, like all the plants in her house. Everything's being nurtured all the time. And people in the group, when she, it's just the way she is. And obviously a lot of artists experience their essence as creativity, love for color, love for shapes, love for, you know. There are people who are ponderers, like in their essence. They're like people who ask questions all the time, who want to. Does that make sense?
It makes great sense. I'm kind of one of those because I ask questions of things I observe that people are doing that just don't make any sense. It's like, why are you doing this? It makes absolutely no sense. It's so incongruous to what it is that you really want to achieve. It goes back to what I was saying before about politics and how, you know, you got side one and side two, and every other year they change and they undo and then they make their own rules, and then the next, you know, it just, and it's like, what are we really doing here? This just makes no logical sense. For example, I use the example of education, and I am a firm, staunch believer in getting an education, learning not just how to read and write and do basic math and so forth, but about being able to move forward to learn new things so that you have more choices. That's what this program is all about, giving people choices and the knowledge of those choices so that they can pursue their life's purpose, pursue their dreams, their heart's desire. But if you don't know that those choices exist, you can't choose them. They don't even exist in your mind because you haven't been exposed to them. And that, to me, that's the greatest crime of all, is not allowing people to be exposed to new ideas.
People have to allow that for themselves.
Sure.
People have to be passionate about it. This is why there's the gate of knowledge as one of the seven gates, those seven areas of life that you need to take care of. And the gate of knowledge is right next to the gate of silence, deep feeling, deep understanding of things. To go back, your essence possibly is the questioner, the one that asks questions.
Well,
that wants to know.
There's a great word out of the book, the science fiction book, A Stranger in a Strange Land, that you're kind of describing, and that is in terms of the understanding of what's being said in that case. The word is grok, to grok, and the definition, as I have understood it after reading the book, was to assimilate it into every cell of your being, down into your soul, into your core, that you fully understand. And it even goes to something that Greg Braden said to us on this program when we were talking about one of his books, The Healing Power of Belief. He talked about how we're going to transition from belief to knowing. We're just going to know. It isn't going to be a question of, well, I believe this and I believe that. I know. And that silence that you speak of speaks to me of...
Yeah. And that's why we need to not crowd our life with a lot of external grasping for things and you know, a lot of noise, like monkey doing, you know, and monkey mind and monkey, you know.
Yeah.
It's detrimental when we do that. We lose ourselves. It's avoidance.
Mm.
We drown. So we have to, as you say, be very conscientious. I mean, let those questions guide us and be conscientious as to what matters, what really matters to me. And how do I make my life align with what really matters?
Tell me about these seven aspects. You've already mentioned two, knowledge and silence.
Yes. Well, I have a book out. It's going through the second edition of it. It's called Gates of Power.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of yourself for a minute as a diamond that has seven facets, that's us. And in the center of the diamond, there is a light. And the light shines through all these facets when they're clear. The inner being of us, the heart, sits in the center of the diamond and radiates the light. The light moves through those facets, through these portals. That's why I call them gates. It's the gate of the body. Obviously, our inner being expresses itself through the body. The gate of emotions. The gate of dialogue, meaning the relationships that we have with ourselves and others or life. The gate of creative expression, how we creatively express ourselves. The gate of life path, purpose, lessons, contribution. The gate of silence, prayer, meditation, deep understanding. And the gate of knowledge. Knowledge, any knowledge, history, art, science, any knowledge helps us know about life and living. Mm. And so these are the seven facets of the diamond. And most of us, because the three inner aspects inside of our inner being, emotional, defensive, and expanded, they're usually not aligned. They're not working right. Most people have their defensive as the leader of their inner being. And that's not a good leader. So you need to work on realigning and creating strong inner team, let's call it, where the expanded is the leader, and it helps heal the emotional and relax the defensive. And then the light can shine in the center of the diamond. And it can help clear all these gates. All these gates, we work on them in the program very diligently, processes, exercises, understanding how to open the body, how to let the emotions flow, how to communicate in the gate of dialogue with ourselves and others, how to be more creative, more expressive, how to find the life path, the purpose and the lesson, how to sit and be still, and how to embrace knowledge. All of that happens in the program that I'm doing. And the book, Gates of Power, Actualize Your True Self, is going to be on Amazon. It was on Amazon for a couple of years, and now it's just getting a new cover and some other little additions. And it will be on Amazon. So it's an amazing workbook as well as information and inspiration.
So,
it gives more understanding of what I just tried to say in 5 minutes.
Right. Well, and we encourage people to go to your websites as well and continue their research and investigation, as well as pick up a copy of your books. Let me ask you how you came to all of this, I'm going to say, incredible, insightful knowledge, awareness, wisdom, if you will. How did this all come together for you?
I think it was a combination of my own journey towards healing, I'm trying to answer that question. I have been on this journey for, I don't know, 50 years, 40 years, long time. And I observed that people only, and I looked at my life when I was looking, and I'm still looking, I'm always looking. The people choose to cultivate one or two or three areas of their life, and then they neglect the other one. And I observe that it doesn't work. That just like we have seven big parts of the body, like two legs, two arms, a head, a torso, and a pelvis. These are seven chunks, seven parts. They all have to work together. It's the same in life. And because people are very much led by their defensive self, a defensive self is not about wholeness. It's just about how do I get to be right? How do I get attention? How do I get more money? How do I get more fame? How do I get, it's all about what I can get to, quote, fortify myself so I can survive. Then this is why the politicians are doing what they're doing. So I realized that when we work from a defensive place, we neglect a lot of our parts. So I don't know if I'm answering, but it's out of observation and out of deep understanding of what works and what doesn't, and how we were meant to be, how we were created, and a respect for that, honoring that.
And did Did you find that through this awareness and through finding these particular aspects through observation that you felt what sort of an obligation to humanity to express this through, whether it was workshops or books or whatever the modality was, because it was that important to you?
Yes. And because I'm in my essence a transformer, it became, once I understood that and it became very clear, I felt moved to.
I know a few actors. I have an acting coach back in Phoenix, and I have a good friend here in Santa Barbara who is also an actor. And they acknowledge that there is a certain level of ego involved. I mean, you don't get into acting, you know, it's not quite a job of service. And yet at the same time, it sort of is. I mean, it is and it isn't. And yet what you're doing now, I'm wrong, but it seems to me to be more 95% to 100%. This is all about serving humanity and helping to raise the consciousness of the people.
Yes, you know, and even as an actor, I was very passionate about expressing those people that were my parts,
mm-hmm.
and giving them a voice. And this is maybe why I was so successful, because I would hear it again and again that you were so loyal to expressing the part. So heartfelt. And somehow, even then, it wasn't, and maybe because I got successful very early, like right after school or something, I didn't have to fight to be successful. I was kind of like very passionate about the expression. As I said, giving those people in the plays that I represented, giving them the voice, making them understood. That was important to me. And then when I created my dance theater company, which I had here in New York for about 15 years, all the pieces that I've created, multimedia performing, performance art, you know, they were all dedicated to transformation. They're all stories of transformation.
I find...
For me, my acting was part of my transformation. It wasn't separate.
Yeah, I don't believe there are ever any wasted steps in our lives, in spite of the fact that it might seem like it. Like, well, why did I take that job for those 6 months? That had nothing to do with, well, yeah, but you don't really know. You know, and if you took, it's like if you use the analogy of your life as a tapestry and you started pulling those threads out that you didn't like, tapestry isn't the same and it starts to fall apart.
Right, right. No, I'm very at peace with everything that I did. I mean, as I said, at the age of whatever, 20, I just finished the army. All of a sudden, I have this urge to go and audition for the Academy for the Performing Arts when I'm like the most awkward, shy person walking, you know? Why? I think we're led. If we hear, if we listen.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you mentioned something interesting earlier on as far as your upbringing in Israel and dealing with the conflicts that were going on. And I interviewed a gentleman not long ago, and this kind of goes to the whole aspect of everybody playing their part and helping to raise the consciousness. He goes over to that part of the world rather regularly, holds interfaith gatherings, and what he's finding from both, in this case, the Palestinian and the Israeli people, the youth in particular, what he is hearing from them is basically this, and I paraphrase, Mom and Dad, you know that little Hatfield and McCoy conflict you got going on with the people on the other side of that wall? I want no part of it. That's yours, not mine. I want something different. I want something better for my life than that. And so what's happening is the youth are basically, you know, and I don't see that kind of perspective as being disloyal to parents. It's saying, look, you guys want a better life for me, your child. Well, then stop this silliness. This is just getting ridiculous. We got to move beyond this. And I think that the same thing exists in all parts of the world. The conflicts between people, for whatever reasons they justify,
out of defensive self position.
Yeah, it's like enough already. Yeah, out of the defensive self position. Yeah.
Yes.
And this actually goes into that third question: what is in my way? And of course, the old cliche, you know, that we need to get out of our own way, is actually more true than you realize. But we don't. We seem to have sort of blocked those things off. We've said, oh, no, I'm not going to deal with those because they're not important. That happened back 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever happened, however many years ago. But the reality is, and I'm sure that you would share this perspective, it doesn't matter how many years go by.
It does not.
Yeah. They're still there.
It does not. It's a defensive self position. I just talked to a woman the other day. She's 66. I talked to her about some conflict in her marriage as of now. And as we're talking, I pointed out to something. And she went, oh, my God, that happened when I was 5 years old. And I said, you know what? It's still happening.
Mm.
And she was in a state of shock. And then she was crying. And then she was laughing. And she said, oh, my God, what a relief. This was buried there. And I kind of knew it, but I didn't think that affects my life now.
Yeah.
Everything sits in the emotional self. The emotional self gathers all the emotional experiences. And unless you help that part of you, the emotional part of you, sort through, release what it needs to release, and celebrate whatever it wants to celebrate, you're not freeing your emotional self.
Hmm.
So it's coloring everything, because the defensive is like the sister or the brother, and it goes, oh, this is pain. Okay, we're locking it. That's what the defensive does, because it doesn't know. It's not a healer. The defensive self is not a healer. It doesn't know what to do. Okay, lock it in. Lock it in. Ignore it. Avoid it. We don't want to hear about it. That's what your defensive does. And this is why you need to train, good training, give your expanded, which is the wise part of you, you need to give it some tools and some good developing strategies to work with these two, to help them. They're very early primal parts of us.
Yeah.
And they are needed, but they just need to get healthy.
That's the key right there, is getting them healthy. And
yes,
you've developed these techniques, these modalities, if you will, through your work and what you're doing. The Change is one of the books that we're obviously dealing with. Also, The Gates of Power, Actualize your true self, and then Let the Heart Speak, and also the website, so that we don't forget any of this here. Go to Nomi, NOMIBACHAR, NomiBahar.com, as
no,
well.
It's gatesofpower.com.
Yes, Gates of Power is the other website as well.
And Nomi Speaks.
Nomi Speaks. Beg your pardon. NomiSpeaks.com, GatesOfPower.com. We encourage you to go to these websites to gain more insight. I know that you know, when we do these programs and we talk with a lot of people over the years about the work that they are doing, as we've been talking with you in this past hour about the work that you are doing and trying to help people to raise their consciousness, to move forward, I kind of put it in this context, to be better than they were yesterday, and so forth and so on.
It is really interesting to me to observe as I listen to you speak about your level of commitment to the work that you're doing now. And obviously, you had the same level of commitment to the work that you were doing as an actor. And by the way, I find it interesting that it seems like that phrase keeps changing. It's like, okay, for a while, we had actors and actresses. And now, everybody's just an actor. And I'm trying to keep up. But I know that folks have a lot of fun doing that because they get to play a different role. It's like when we were little kids, you know, and we would play these different games and I remember for me it was superheroes, you know, and I'd grab one of my mom's towels and you know, wrap it around the neck and off we went. She wasn't too happy with the destruction of the towel, but nonetheless, that's what we did, and yet we still. In our daily lives, even as adults, we're playing different roles as we transition from one space to another, kind of what you were talking about. Are you finding when people first are introduced to your work and begin this process that they're playing the role, but it seems as though they're not quite committed to that role yet? And as they work through with you, you begin to see that level of commitment increase?
Well, as a lot of people are playing roles that are not really connected to their essence. So you want to drop that role because that's like, I remember a guy came to me and he was a lawyer, a very successful lawyer, young man. And he says to me, Nomi, I'm choking. I hate it. I hate it. What do you want to do? I want to teach kids. So, but if I say that to my dad, who is like this very famous lawyer, he's going to kill me. He's going to disown me. So it took us a couple of years to move from the role of a lawyer. He was not meant to be a lawyer. He didn't want to be a lawyer. To the role of a teacher. He loved kids. He wanted to work with kids. And empower them and give them love and knowledge. And he was afraid because he was raised to be a lawyer. Okay, so we have to be, you know, we have to look at our lives and we have to zero into the heart, those two hearts that are like in one place, and say, what matters to me? What moves me? What I'm passionate about? What really, really, really matters. And we go and we follow that. Because that is the real role.
Hmm. It does indeed. It does indeed. Again, I love these four questions that we've put forth, that you've put forth. The last one, of course, is how do I get there? I guess the first thing that one has to do is to define where there is before you can determine how you're going to get there. And a lot of people are stuck. Like this example you just gave of this young man whose father wanted to be a lawyer. Oh, that's not that. That is not the there that I want to be at.
That is not the there, right? Right. But he was very successful. He was earning a lot of money. He was, you know, he had everything worldly that he could have. But as you say, that was not the there. That was not his essence. That was not his purpose. And he was filled with fear and self-doubt, an insecurity and defensive stance, and we had to clear that out of the way. You know, so he was earning, you know, 500 or something a year, and now he earns 60. And he's a teacher, and he loves it. He's mm-hmm. happy. And his dad made peace with it somehow. Took us a little time. But, hey.
Well,
he was following his bliss.
Yeah.
He wanted, you know, he was afraid of doing it, but he did it.
Well, as I was saying earlier about my father giving me that advice about finding a job that you love doing, and as I've worked through my career, which is sort of the arts, sort of journalistic, sort of informational and educational, hopefully, both for myself and others, I've had opportunities of, for example, of teaching, both within the various stations that I've worked for, as well as specific broadcast schools that I was associated with. And I got to tell you, it's one of the greatest experiences I've ever had. And one of the main things that I love about it is that if I can share with other people what I know, it frees me up to learn more. I don't get stuck. I know that there are a lot of people who feel very threatened, especially in the workplace, about other people learning their job. Because, well, you know, if you learn too much about my job, you might take that job away from me and I'll be unemployed. It's like, no. I want to give away all of the stuff that I know so that other people can come do what I'm doing so that I can go off and do some other things, some new things.
Right. So here is a part of your essence, too. I mean, I know you just a very little bit, but you're definitely one of those ponderers and imparters of knowledge. You're passionate about it somehow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other aspect of the knowledge, and again, it kind of there's a part of me that feels as though this whole aspect of education isn't. I mean, it is important, but at the same time, as I've talked with you here in this program today, it's like, okay, it's good stuff. Okay, that's fine. But it also tends to play to the monkey mind at certain levels. It really does. And so you kind of have to temper that with the whole going within. And dealing with those three aspects and those four questions and the seven elements of the diamond, which I think that's a beautiful example. And then lighten up the light inside the diamond and letting that shine. You know, so that's kind of what it's all about. Nomi, I want to, first of all, thank you so much for sharing this time. I've been to New York once. It was in 1993, so it's been a long time, and I know New York's changed a little. But I have to say that when I was walking with my wife at that time and my friend through the streets of Manhattan, it was Friday, it was 5:00, and there were people everywhere. And I was both elated and saddened. I was elated by the electricity, by the energy of all these people just, you know, they're all getting off of work and they're heading for their Friday and their weekend and everything. I was saddened by the fact that as I observed how they were all so disconnected from one another. They were almost oblivious of one another because they were so focused on, you know, whatever it was they were focused on. But I have to say that the experiences that I had there in New York, and we walked from Central Park down Fifth Avenue, even all the way to, I want to say to Greenwich Village, and that was a long walk through Washington Park. But it was so incredible. I don't know that I could live there because I've lived in the country now in Santa Barbara up above in the rural areas for so long. You know, would they let me have five cats and two dogs and five chickens? I don't think so either. But there is something very special about that particular particular area of the world and that particular city that has an electricity, if you will. And obviously, you've lived there for a number of years. I'm curious, before we let you go, about your observations of peoples as you've traveled the world sharing these wonderful ideas. Is there that much of a difference between those of one part of the world or the other? Is everybody dealing with the same stuff? Or
yes, everybody's dealing. And you know what I was pleasantly surprised to discover? Every group of people that I ever talked to, and I talked to so many different, they all got it. When I explain, this is what we're made of, this is what life is supposed to offer us, and this is what we are supposed to offer to life, everybody gets it. I spoke to young people. I spoke to even children about it in a way that they can understand it. I spoke to bankers and multimillionaires, and I spoke to struggling artists that didn't have a cent to their name. Everybody get it. They get it. Whether they go then and dedicate themselves to doing the work, that's different. But they get it.
Well, that to me is really exciting, that people are actually getting it. I went through some personal growth and development programs in the 80s and 90s, and I sat in one of the classes, one of the five-day intensives, and I looked around the room at all the different people, and of course, some big self-help stuff, you know, and at that time it was, you know, blame the parents for your problems, and then it was interdependence and codependence and all those different phases we went through. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, when are these people going to get it? When are they going to get it? And then I had to stop myself because I am going, oh, wait a minute. I'm in the room too.
So
that's funny.
So I had to say, oh, okay. I mean, even though I could have said to myself, well, wait a minute, you're here for your wife. My wife at that time, my first wife, was totally blind, and she wanted to go to this program. And she couldn't go by herself, so she's needed somebody, me, to go along with her. And I said, hey, okay, I'll go along and I'll be your guide. I have no problem with that. We do that all the time anyway. Not really expecting to, quote unquote, participate. Well, it's kind of hard to avoid participating when you're sitting in the room, you know?
And you were meant to be there.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were meant to be there.
Exactly.
You were meant to be there. So let's not, you know.
Yeah.
It's just by coincidence. Yeah. No, yeah. You were meant to be there.
But that was very funny when I'm going, oh, that applies to me too. I guess, when am I going to get it too? Naomi Bahar, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program and for sharing these wonderful insights. Before we let you go, first of all, should you choose to travel the 3,000 or 5,000 miles? I forget what the distance is between New York and California. We'd love to have you.
I was just there, actually. So where are you exactly?
Santa Barbara, California.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, when you're out here again, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation. This would be this would be a wonderful thing to do. I love having guests come in studio and discuss these wonderful ideas. And so should that happen, we'd love to have you in studio to do that. And then I have three final questions for you, and then we're going to let you go. And hopefully we will have you back on the program to talk more about this, whether it's on the phone or in person.
Would love to do that.
All right. Now, these three questions do tend to, you've probably answered these questions throughout the interview in some way, shape, or form, especially through those four questions. But I'm going to ask them from my perspective. And the first one is, who is Naomi Bahar?
A big, loving heart that is dedicated to transformation, empowerment, and enlightenment.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Create a possibility for all people to have the knowledge to create themselves into the best version of themselves.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
Just that. Providing people with the tools, the knowledge, and the inspiration to become, to actualize their true self and become what they are really down deep wanting to be.
Naomi Bihar, thank you so much once again. The book is Let the Heart Speak, along with Gates of Power and The Change. Go to NaomiSpeaks.com. Also go to GatesofPower.com. We'll be linked to those websites on RichardDugan.com as well, so we encourage you to go there. Again, Naomi, thank you so much for joining us here on the program.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, Richard. Just send me something, yeah? Send me a link.
I absolutely will. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love, Talal.